And I speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Our journey together through the story, through the great drama of God's salvation for us, continues. We've been following Israel from her troubled beginnings through the troubled times that she's living through now. We've been following the story of Israel wandering in the desert. And now we've been following the story of Israel finding her place in the promised land. And that hasn't been easy. Armies have been mobilized. Cities have fallen. Great leaders like Joshua and Gideon have been raised up and inspired the nation and won massive victories against powerful foes. And in all this, Israel sees not just her own strength, but the hand of her God Yahweh. And it all seems to be taking place on a grand scale. Nations on the move, armies in battle, kings and judges commanding thousands of men. Until this morning. In today's chapter of our story, we go from power politics and military might to a small, intimate portrait of a woman, Ruth, and her mother-in-law, Naomi. No battles, no walls tumbling down, no iron chariots. All the action in this story happens in conversations, in words, especially between these two women, Naomi and Ruth. Instead of conflict on a large scale, we see a single, beautiful relationship of kindness and affection and love and loyalty and duty. The story begins not in strength, but in weakness. The people of Israel aren't nomads anymore. They're trying to learn how to be farmers. And they experience the farmers' greatest fear, drought and famine. Things get desperate enough that a man from Bethlehem makes a huge decision. He will leave the land. He will leave the land promised to Abraham. He'll leave the land his father and grandfather fought for. He will pull up stakes and move to another place where there's food called Moab. Most Texans I know don't even like moving to Oklahoma. This is more like moving to Iran. The family does what refugee families do. They make the best of it. They survive. In ways, they even thrive. They get kind of settled in. The family's two sons marry local girls. But their position is still very precarious, as we see when all the men in the family, the two sons and the husband, Naomi's boys and her man, die in quick succession. And the rest of the story focuses on Naomi and Ruth, her daughter-in-law, two of the unlikeliest heroes of Scripture, a powerless widow and her foreign daughter-in-law, women who no one else would even have noticed in their time, women who probably never even would have met in less troubled times. But the bonds of love between these two women have become truly remarkable. Ruth is willing to endure hardship with Naomi rather than return to her own family, who would be duty-bound to find her a new husband. And I wonder about that. Where did this affection and love and loyalty come from? I wonder if Ruth perhaps experienced something with Naomi she never got back home. Maybe respect, maybe dignity. Just listen when you read this story to how kindly and how respectfully Naomi speaks to her daughter-in-law Ruth. Ruth even decides to follow Naomi's God, Yahweh, rather than the gods of her people. It's a remarkable move, but notice this. Naomi never once in this whole story talks theology with Ruth. They never have an abstract debate over the relative merits of Yahweh and Chemosh, the main god of the Moabites. Ruth's decision to follow Yahweh is motivated by love, not learning. And to me, that says something about evangelism, the real kind. At its deep heart, real evangelism is never a matter of having a bunch of snappy answers to tough theological questions. Real evangelism, in its deepest heart, is about engaging people heart to heart, the way Naomi engages Ruth. It's about meeting people in a spirit of dignity and respect and love. That's how we bring people to our God. The story continues. It has its ups and downs, and as we know, it resolves in a happy ending. Ruth and Naomi encounter Boaz, a close relative of Naomi's dead husband. And Boaz has the duty of helping them recover any land they might have had to sell during their times of hardship. He has the duty of getting them back on their feet and established. And he has the duty of raising up children for Ruth and grandchildren for Naomi. And the story suggests very strongly, but also very tastefully, that Boaz is going to be very happy to do his duty. And if the story ended with little baby Obad bouncing around on Grandma Naomi's knee, that would all be very sweet and nice. But there's something more going on here. Well, this beautiful lower story, the story of Ruth and Naomi, is resolving itself into a happy ending. Big things are happening in God's upper story. Because suddenly, in the last chapter of this story, the vision pulls back from our intimate little family portrait. And this family episode is set in the great drama of the sweep of Israel's history. Because little Obed, bouncing around on Naomi's knee, will be the father of Jesse. And Jesse will be the father of David. And David will advance God's cause in mighty ways. But the story tells us none of that could ever have happened if it weren't for these two women, a widow and a foreigner, and their relationship of love and loyalty and kindness. Those little things in the lower story of Ruth and Naomi play a mighty role in God's upper story of salvation. And sometimes our lower stories, our everyday concrete stuff, sometimes our lower stories seem too small to make any difference in God's big picture. Sometimes we neglect the small things because we can't see how they'll have any effect. But Ruth and Naomi's story show us that's just not true. It's so important, and Ruth and Naomi are here in the house today to remind us that small acts of kindness and respect and love can do as much for God's big upper story as any military campaign, any great political movement. Sometimes we Christians look a little funny to the outside world. We look a little bit like hopeless romantics because we believe our little acts of love and mercy can make a difference to anything. But we know. We know what Ruth and Naomi know. We know what Ruth and Naomi show us. We know the Joshuas and Gideons and generals and kings of this world are important. But so are the Ruths and the Naomis. So are you. And so am I. God's upper story is advanced in great conquests and mighty deeds. It's also advanced by the small things each one of us will do this week. Things that are little and would be easy to neglect, but are vitally important. Patience in our families. Embracing a relationship with someone unexpected, someone different from us. Showing respect, dignity to all whom God places in our path. Those little acts by which we obey our baptismal vow to seek and serve Christ in all persons. Respect the dignity of every human being. Ruth and Naomi are in the house this morning to remind us how important those little things are. Because God's whole story at this moment pivots on those. Joshua and Gideon have their place. So do Ruth and Naomi and you and I. Big things and small things advance God's story. And we all have our place. And the story continues. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, together.